The gospel lesson this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 4, the first 11 verses. And this is the good news about Jesus. Listen. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But Jesus answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city, Jerusalem, and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, God will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against the stone." And Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, do not put your Lord God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and all of their splendor. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." And then at once the devil left him. Suddenly, angels came and waited on him. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that we have the joy of joining together in a safe place, a welcoming place, just to hear, just for a few minutes, a word from you. So may we, through our singing, through our praying, through our listening and attention to your word as we come to the Lord's table in a little bit, that we may leave refreshed and revitalized for the journey ahead, so that we can do what we have heard. Amen. In our society, starting stuff is applauded. You know, your grandchild comes to you and says, "Hey, I'm pre-med." And now all of a sudden you're throwing a big party for the doctor in the family. Do you know that only 75% of students that start a pre-med program finish? We love starting things. You know, it's pretty easy to start things. When's the last time you joined the gym? Yeah, all of us have probably started that. And good news if you've kept it up. But a lot of times starting things, just sometimes after a while, you know, we hit those dips. Little dip comes in, and instead of pushing through, and maybe it's not right for us, maybe it just turns out it's not the right gym or the right workout or the right timing or who knows. But it also could mean that we just don't want to keep at it long enough to make it a habit. And so when the dip comes, we just give up. We tell people that we've just finished some huge or started some huge project. "I'm going to repaint the house." Well, next fall comes around, and the house still hasn't been painted. Or how about in the new year? Remember your three words? Well, I hope you go back now after this little reminder, gentle reminder, to go back and look at your three words. Because you know what happens a lot of times? We get the new calendar, we download the new updates, and all of a sudden we're all ready to organize a new year. And then a few weeks set in, and what we started, we just don't seem to have the resources to finish. And again, sometimes that's a good thing. Life self-filters. There are things that we start that maybe we don't need to finish. But our decision-making ability of knowing when it is we should push through and when it is we say, "Oh, that's a sign. That's a sign from God. I don't need to exercise. I don't really need to go to the gym. I don't need to get healthier." Well, then sometimes we ignore some of that wisdom and we just decide to give up, move on to something else. A few weeks ago, you all were kind enough to take a survey, and we asked three questions. We asked about engagement. How engaged or involved do you feel here at Cold Spring Church? So it isn't whether you like Cold Spring Church or not. It isn't whether you agree with everything that everybody else agrees with and sees the same way. The question was, how involved do you feel at Cold Spring Church? How engaged do you feel? Last year compared to this year. And then we asked the question, would you recommend Cold Spring Church to a friend or a neighbor? In other words, someone you know, someone that you would risk giving them bad advice. And I just wanted to point out that in the bulletin today are the results of that survey. And you can see in the survey that a huge number of us a year or so ago were not feeling very engaged with Cold Spring Church. But this year, an even greater number feel engaged. And I point this out, I've told the session this on Wednesday, this is to your credit. Because I think you're choosing to become more involved. I think you're choosing to invite friends with you to worship. I think you're putting up with some of Pastor Kevin's bad hymn choices and just plugging through. Because we know that one of the hymns, I promise, each week, one of the hymns each week you will like. But it's your hymnal. I didn't write it. And I'm just going through your hymnal to pick songs that you've selected out of your songbook. And that's why we have a worship team. But for all this good, wonderful news, you know, imagine, I don't remember the actual numbers in the survey. Let's say it was 35 people. 35 people did not feel engaged last year with the church. I mean, they may have come occasionally. They didn't feel, like, connected. But this year, there's, say, 45 people that do. So those 35 people changed over the last few months into becoming engaged here at Cold Spring Church. And this is when we don't say, oh, we finally did it. That's such good news. I mean, it's so nice. We all feel so engaged and we're kind of involved and committed. But this is the time where we need, like Jesus, to remember that it's not in the moment that we celebrate, but it's the destination to where we're going. Jesus entered the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights. Now, he didn't go there because he was lost. Or his batteries on his cell phone died. He went into the wilderness, it says on purpose. He was led into the wilderness by the Spirit. It was not a punishment. It was not because he had nothing else to do. 40 days and 40 nights. It's a similar kind of the word 40 is the word for completeness in the Bible. And it's frequently in stories like the one we read about Moses wandering for 40 years in the wilderness. And the people of God then, after those 40 years of wandering and eating manna, remember the manna from heaven and all of that? Well, they decided to complain at the end, and somehow they just weren't getting the message right. So God said, you know what? We're going to have a little after-school program, and we're going to send you back for another 40 years. So that was 80 years in the wilderness, the people of God did, in order to learn and to pay attention to the right voices and to do the right things. And so the word 40 emerges as a time of discipline for many people during Lent. Some of us shorten that a little bit by saying, I'll give up something for 40 days. I'll fast from watching cartoons. I'll fast from eating fast food. I'll fast from eating donuts every morning for breakfast. Or some people will add something in their life for 40 days. I will begin reading the Bible every day for 10 minutes, just during Lent. I'm going to give it up after that. But you know what? After 40 days, the kind of habit of behavior kind of sets in. And even after the 40 days of discipline, we learn things during that period. Now, right before Jesus was sent into the wilderness by the Spirit, the very immediate event that occurred is that he was baptized in the River Jordan, where a great voice came from heaven. And John the Baptist is pointing, and he says, that's the one, Jesus, that's the one you're supposed to follow, not me. No, no, you follow Jesus, he's the one. And a voice from heaven calls out and says, this is my son, listen to him. And a little bit of time goes by, and the very next thing, Jesus finds himself sent into the wilderness as a time of study, as a time of discipline, a time of denying some of the earthly pleasures in order to hone and sharpen his spirit. And Jesus did not give up. And so he meets Satan in the wilderness. And the very first temptation, we learn that Satan promises him that no matter how hungry you are, if you could turn, Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, you could turn those stones into bread. And of course, Jesus could. Anybody think he couldn't do that? He could do that, right? He probably tastes pretty good. Maybe like our communion bread. I mean, just really, really good stuff. But you see, Jesus wasn't put on earth just to solve his hunger. Jesus wasn't put on earth as a baker. Jesus wasn't put on earth just to show off and say, look what I can do. Jesus was put on earth to worship God and to do what God had sent him to do. And this is the story we rehearse during Lent and as we approach Holy Week. The purpose that the Son of God came was not to impress his friends. And so he says, Satan, people do not live by bread alone. It's not just about that, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then Satan takes him up to a high place in the holy city, Jerusalem. And at this high altitude, and it was pretty high, overlooking the great temple and just kind of absorbing all of that greatness, Satan says to Jesus, hey, Jesus, you know what? You could watch yourself there. No, you could actually leap off the top of the temple here where we are, and you know what? Because you're the Son of God, right? I bet God would come and rescue you. And he quoted scripture from the Psalms, referring to the Son of Man, who God will send his angels to protect them. And he won't even, not only just protect them, but he won't even let his foot dash upon the stone. He'll have such comfort, be so protected. And Jesus says, no, you must not put God to the test. And finally, Satan takes him to a high place and a high mountain, overlooking not just the temple and all the religious traditions and customs that Satan was promising to give Jesus if he would but jump off and kind of prove he was God. No, now he takes him to a high mountain that overlooks the entire world and all the cities and all the people. And he says, hey, what? I will give you all of these things that you see if you just do just one little thing. If you would just bow down and worship me. That seems simple. I mean, he could have just kind of played the fool. He could have just sort of said yes, lip service, and not really mean it in his heart. Or no, Jesus wasn't going to be fooled. Satan says, I'll give you all of this, and all I want in return is that you worship me. And Jesus does a curious thing. He says, get away from me. And those are the very same words that Jesus said to Peter when Peter jumped in front of Jesus to stop him from going to Jerusalem to be, when he was on his way to the cross. Remember, oh no, Lord, you're not going to go there. That's dangerous up there in Jerusalem. I'm not going to let you go. And Jesus said to Peter, get away from me. See, at the end of the day, Satan, evil influences, evil energy in the world, these things cannot overcome the person who is secure in Christ. Jesus tells him plainly, get away from me, and you are never going to put God to the test. You will only worship God. And at that, Satan just leaves and departs. And then Matthew records what each of the other Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, of this story, that angels were sent to tend to Jesus, where he broke his fast, his 40 days and 40 nights fast. See, Jesus, as the Son of God, of course, you would say, well, it's just 40 days and 40 nights. I mean, God can do anything. What's the big deal? But what kind of challenges and things do we face? We're not the Son of God. We don't have those special powers. But Jesus was in the wilderness to represent that when we go through wilderness, when we go through difficult things, these same answers apply. That we don't need to try to impress our friends with how great we are when things get troubling. We don't need to turn stones into bread. And we also, when met with a challenge, say even in our spiritual life, And we don't need to confuse. We're not the focus. We're not the center of our spiritual life. God is the center of our spiritual life. And we don't need to pretend, oh yeah, look at me, look what I've done. No, we don't have to do that. We worship only God. The focus is on Christ. And also, when we're challenged, like Jesus was, finally to be tempted just by all the wonderful things we can just acquire, Jesus says, remember, you're supposed to plant and harvest to benefit others, not just attract resources so that you can stockpile them so that you can use them selfishly. We are not put on the planet, Jesus says, no matter what your challenge. It's not really about you alone. Remember that as we meet challenges in our life, we're addressing these challenges not just so we get out of them, but that we learn through them and that others can benefit from our challenges, from our success and our struggles. There's an interesting study that some psychologists did. Pretend, for example, pretend you get a letter from a lawyer, a real letter, not one of those fake news things. You get a letter from a lawyer, and the lawyer says, if someone passed away and left $5 million, you'll get half of it. If you can find the other person who another letter was sent, you've got to get these two people together, you and this other person. And if the two of you, strangers, find each other, you'll each get $2.5 million. But you need to find each other on March 12th in Paris. And you're not allowed to run any ads or do anything to find each other. Now, when you think about Paris, where would you meet? Eiffel Tower. You know, 99% of the people who were in this survey all said the same thing, meet at the Eiffel Tower. But you still have to find the person that got a letter, and you have no idea what they look like, him or her, tall or short, you have just no clue. But it's an interesting study to think about. So what if you had a letter, or got a letter like that, and said, you're going to get great riches, just wonderful things will come to you, if you find a person here in Cape May on March 12th, in this area, right around here, if you just find them, you know, you don't know who they are, but they're looking for you, and you're looking for them, where would you meet? What do you think?
Sunset Beach.
Yeah, bingo. Sunset Beach, that's where you go. And that's why we're having the sunrise service at Sunset Beach. That if you show up at Sunset Beach at 6:15 a.m. on Sunday, April 16th, I promise you're going to get a blessing. Now, you may not want to wake up that early. Remember that dip I talked about? Yeah, it happens right around 5 a.m. in the morning. Yeah, we just don't want to do a thing after that. But just a hypothesis, prove me wrong. Why don't you show up and see? And you'll get your money back if you don't have a great morning after that. You see, our struggles that we have, we can't just say, oh, well, Jesus went through that. What difference does it make with me? Because Jesus was sent here, you see, because he's like us. Now, we're not God. But it says that he suffered in every way like we, yet he did not sin. And he went to the cross and died on our behalf so that we could live. And so we need to tell each other and remind each other that even though wonderful blessings have come to Cold Spring Church over 300 years, and we're enjoying many of those blessings now, God is not done yet. And that when we face challenges of various kinds, that these are just ordinary dips. And we have to remember that although anybody who starts a marathon, you know, it isn't true that most people quit after the first mile. Most people quit just a few miles from the finish line. They just don't keep going. And God wants us not to give up. He wants us to remember that God has called us for a very special purpose, like I was reminding the children this morning. Jesus loves us and has made us very special. He's made you special. And he doesn't want us to give up. He doesn't want us to forget that he is the one that has called us to do great things in his name. Jesus invites us on a journey this Lent. And he invites each of us to remind each other how important the journey is. It's not only the journey, but the destination. And focused in the direction that we should go. Today, as our worship continues, we're going to be gathering around the Lord's table. And it's here that we will find refreshment for our spirit so that we can continue on and experience God's love and grace. Let us pray. Dear God, thank you that you're with us all the time, even when we face challenges of various kinds, even when we're in our own wildernesses. We know that we do not live by bread alone, and that you have promised to be with us no matter what, and to keep pointing toward the destination, the road up ahead. Thank you, Lord, that you want us not to just get through the day with some bread or just to be the focus of attention in the moment, but that we might learn and that we might grow and that we might celebrate as we get closer to what you want us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.